Good afternoon. Once again, we welcome everyone gathered here and those who are joining us online. We especially welcome any guests who are visiting with us this afternoon. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 138, verses 1 and 3, where we read, "I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." At this time, let's sing from Psalter 381, verses 1 and 2. Psalter 381. Verses 1 and 2.
Again, the Lord has called us together to worship him, and we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth, lives forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Receive the greeting of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us continue to worship the Lord today with singing from Psalter number 175. 175, we'll sing all four stanzas.
Thank you.
Let us read together from the words of Mark chapter 2. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2, page 884 in our pew Bibles, and we'll read from verse 23 through verse 6 of chapter 3. So Mark 2, 23 through chapter 3, verse 6, to moments in the life of the Lord Jesus where he is challenged, especially with regard to his understanding of the Lord's Day, of the Sabbath day as it was then, as it became also the Lord's Day following the resurrection of Christ and his ascension into glory. And our focus this afternoon has to do with the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and as follows. And so we'll read this passage in Mark, and then we'll turn also to our catechism and read from Lord's Day 38. Our text will be Mark 2, verse 27, but let's begin at 23. The word of the Lord. Now it happened that he, that is Jesus, went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.' And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he had looked round at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." So far, the reading of the Scripture. Now let's turn to our catechism, Lord's Day 38. It's on page 74 at the back of our Psalter, if you would like to follow along. Page 74, Lord's Day 38. Having to do with the fourth commandment, what does God require in the fourth commandment? And this is what God requires. First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Second, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath." Let's come before the Lord in prayer and seek for his blessing as we worship him together this afternoon. Once more, Lord God, we are privileged to unite together in prayer and to draw near to you, the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you for all the encouragements you give us in your word, in your promises, in your gospel, all the encouragements to come even with boldness to the throne of grace, to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Lord, we come as a congregation. We come in these holy moments in prayer together, and we pray about all our needs for body and soul, in our home life, in our family life, in single life or in married life. We pray, Lord, that you will bless whatever our state may be, whatever stage of life we may be. We pray that in all our ways we may acknowledge you, not lean on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all our heart. With all the questions we face, with all the cares we bear, all the burdens, Lord, all the sorrows maybe or struggles, we pray for each one, and we pray for your grace, which is all sufficient, and that your strength may be made perfect in weakness. We pray, Lord, for every home and for every family. We pray for every marriage, for every husband, every wife. Help that we may have strong marriages, godly marriages. Lord, we can never be perfect in our marriages, but we can learn to be godly, to live obediently to your word, and to receive also the blessing of the Lord. We pray to that end that you will help every husband to love his wife and to lead her well, to show to her attention and affection and appreciation. Will you help husbands in that high and holy calling that you have given to them, even to deny themselves for the sake of their wives? And will you help wives to follow their husbands and to submit to their husbands in all things lawful, and to serve, and together, Lord, to be strong teams and faithful in seeking and in serving the Lord. And if you have given children, in raising up children, in guiding children in the way they should go, and young people too. Lord, watch over our homes, watch over our marriages, watch over our families. Protect and preserve us also in the midst of many temptations and pressures. Grant that we may not live in sin. Grant that we may not live, Lord, apart from each other or indifferent to each other. But grant to every home that we may be growing together and together also growing in the Lord. We pray too for those who live alone, for those who are widowed or widowers, for those who are single in life, all their life have been, for young people, perhaps still not married, maybe wanting to be married. Lord, we can be, again, in different states and stages and have different feelings about these things. We pray that you will bless all our single members and that you will be very near to them, that you will enable them also to serve you faithfully. And grant, Lord, that your joy may be their strength, that they may know that you are near, that they may be able to confess, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And Lord, if they long for a partner, a spouse, and lay that before you also, that you may, if it is your will, provide for them and grant them the desire of their heart. We pray for our young people and our children, and we commend them all to you, and we thank you for them all. We pray for your work in them all. Guide them, Lord, in this world in which we live. Lead them by your word and spirit. Help that they may resist the devil. Help that we may also be good and faithful mentors to them. Also as a covenant community, that we may set a good and positive example, a godly example to our youth of what it means to seek and serve the Lord, to be consistent in all of life, to be holy as you are holy. And will you give our children, our youth, will you give the new generation early a desire to walk in your ways, that you will satisfy them early with your mercy, that they may see that the way of this world is passing away, that the pleasures of sin are fleeting, temporary, here today and gone tomorrow, and in their place come only sorrow and trouble and grief and pain and judgment. Lord God, we pray above all that our young people may be one for Christ, that they may love him and that they may delight in him, and that they may give themselves to him. We bless them in all that they learn, also from day to day, and also in here in the church. We thank you for the young people that meets this evening in the college and careers, and we pray for your blessing upon these opportunities and all who may participate in them. We pray too, Lord, in view of what we have confessed in our catechism about the importance of the schools, that you will bless where our children go to school, where our young people go to school, that they may also be kept and strengthened in the way of godliness in their school. Bless all teachers and all administrators and all those who are involved also in the Heritage School and the Jordan School. And give them grace, O Lord, and wisdom and strength in the tasks that have been entrusted to them. And grant that our schools may be maintained, that all the needs also financially and otherwise may be met, that teachers may be secured and that they may be strengthened, supported, and encouraged in their important work. We pray, Lord, too, for your blessing on this afternoon as we study the fourth commandment. And we think of how the Sabbath day is to be kept holy, and how in this world in which we live, there is so little of that. And rather, there is so much breaking of the Sabbath day. And how grievous that must be also to you and offensive to you. And we pray that it may be so to us also, that we may not become so desensitized to it that we never notice it anymore, but that we may lament over the way our society has gone, over the way so much of this world has gone, and that we may cry out for mercy and for revival. When we think of this commandment too, Lord, we need light and wisdom and understanding from you just to have a proper view of it, and also to be faithful in keeping it. And who of us, Lord, is faithful? We are all sinners also in this regard, and we need your Son's work. We need his saving life, his saving death and resurrection. We need his saving and sanctifying spirit. And we pray for that, all of that and more also in this afternoon. We also think of those who, because of work of necessity or work of mercy, are not always able to be with us on the Lord's day. Those who are involved in emergency services, whether it be police work or firefighting or medical services, those who work as nurses or as PSWs or in palliative care. We pray, Lord, for all of these members who, because of their responsibilities, lawful as they are, must be absent from our services from time to time. And we pray, Lord, for their protection, for how often they can be vulnerable also because of these things. And we pray, Lord, that you will be a wall of protection around them, and that you will sustain and strengthen their faith, and that you will support them even as they can always be with us. We look to you as the God who nourishes and cares for and preserves your people, even as we could hear this morning, even in the wilderness, and even when great rivers of trial come after us, you are the Lord who alone can save us and secure us, and we pray for that. We pray, Lord, that above all we may rejoice in the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that through even this message this afternoon, Lord Jesus, we may see you more clearly in all your glory and beauty, in a way that we love you and delight in you and want to give ourselves to you more and more. We pray that you will bless the gospel everywhere it is brought today. Help Wilf Bout as he ministers to the migrant community this evening. Will you strengthen him and bless the word that he brings and the people to whom he ministers, and remember them. We pray also for Pastor Young J. Lee as he serves in the New York and New Jersey community, and as he works hard to seek to make contacts with people and to bring the gospel and to seek for a church to be started, planted in that vast community of people, and among the Korean population particularly. Lord, will you help Pastor Lee? Will you encourage him day by day? Will you bless him together with his wife and family? And may they also see fruit on their labor. May it be, Lord, that your Spirit is at work, blessing the word and making it to find good ground and taking root there and growing up and bearing fruit. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless our gifts also to that end, and prosper them mightily. I also pray for the Palmden Plains Church and the committee that oversees and supports this work more directly, and that you will give them wisdom and go before them and encourage them all. And may they see, also in our time, may they see evidence of the right hand and the strong arm of the Most High and the light of your favor resting upon them. We think, Lord, of the gospel cause throughout the world. When we look around the world and we think of different things we hear and see and learn about, how sad this world is, how broken and how rebellious and how how miserable so many are. We think of all the chaos in Haiti, a country that seems to be falling apart at every turn, where there's only heartbreak and misery and violence and anarchy even, where there is hardly food to eat in some places, where people fear for their lives, where the work of the church is frustrated. We pray for mercy in that land. We pray, Lord, for the work of your Spirit. We think of Africa, where we have heard of also great hunger concerns, starvation looming, and what it might be like for them all this winter. And we pray, Lord, for mercy there too, and for provision, even just of food and drink for people, and that you will bless every means to that end. And whatever part we can play also in that, help us, Lord. Show us the way and grant that we may supply for those who are in need. Think of the ongoing conflict in Ukraine and Russia, and the deepening darkness and the increasing danger. We think of China, where no one is free and where there's always surveillance, and where it is so difficult also to be a church and to be the people of God. Lord, the list goes on and on. We pray that in all this we may remember that the Lord Jesus is still the King and the Word is still going out. And, oh Lord, you will build your church and the gates of hell will crumble and come crashing down. And someday the work will be complete. And help us till then to be faithful. Help us to persevere. Help us to be steadfast. And grant that in all things your name may be glorified here too in our own land, in our own place, and in our own time. Lord, we look to you. Our eyes are upon you. Hear our prayer. And bless this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. And we do so again for the work of Urban Mission, especially Pastor Lee and his family and all that he's able to do in the New York, New Jersey area. After we have brought our gifts to God in praise and thanks to him, let's sing from Psalter number 227. Words from Psalm 84. Before the sermon, we'll sing 227, and at the end of the service, 228, both from Psalm 84, having to do with also the beauty and glory of God's house, and on the Lord's Day, especially when we may assemble, we may see that and experience that, and the grace that he shows to us in the gospel. So we'll sing 227 at this time, and we'll sing all three stanzas, 227. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure we would all agree that in the world, the fourth commandment is less and less respected in the world. In fact, in the world, who even today knows about the fourth commandment? I mean, if you said to the average person on the street, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, says the Lord, many times you would get blank looks, total confusion. So many not having a clue anymore what's in view. Less and less respected, certainly in the world. What about in the church? Would we say that the fourth commandment is still highly respected in the church? Of course, here we have to acknowledge that there have been different views, and certainly the ceremonial aspect of the Sabbath commandment is no longer in view. But by and large, many churches today would argue that the fourth commandment no longer applies. That they think it was only for Israel altogether, and now that Christ has come, there is really no special day for the church. I mean, Sunday is nice. Many times Sunday is great. But there is no commandment. And there ought to be no binding of the conscience with regard to whether or not we go to work or with regard to whether we go to church. Sadly, we have to acknowledge that the church has not helped the world on this point. That if that's the view of the church, then from our perspective, it would seem like a compromise and a giving in, really, to the spirit of the age. So that the line between church and world has become blurry and commitment to the commandment has fallen away. That's in the church at large. All right, fair enough, but what about our church? Do we still respect very much the fourth commandment? Do we do so as before? Well, yes, of course, because here we are. It's Sunday and we're in church, and it's Sunday afternoon, no less, second service. Obviously, we keep the Lord's Day, at least on this point. But what about, as in previous times and in generations, like our parents or our grandparents? Some might argue that we shouldn't make the past out to be more than it was. People broke this commandment then too, and that's true. And being sinners, we are all Sabbath breakers, all of us. Yet one of you said to me recently about this commandment, one of you said, times have changed. Direct quote, times have changed. In other words, it's not what it once was. Times have changed. Maybe we've changed, or we are changing. Well, I really don't know how to evaluate that. Ultimately, we each have to answer to the Lord. But it is interesting the way the commandment begins. In Exodus 20, for example, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember. Why remember? Perhaps it's a reference to the fact that the Lord had already taught the principle. We'll come to that in a moment. And so he's reminding his people of what he has already taught. But perhaps, too, remember is in view of the fact that the Lord knows how prone we are to forget. Also, and especially, this commandment. Could that be? Just one more point yet in terms of introduction. Just to underscore how serious this is. In my preparation for this sermon, I came across an old quote by J.C. Ryle. And listen to what he said. He said, it is only a few steps down from no Sabbath to no God. It is only a few steps down from no Sabbath to no God. And Ryle's comment there, it highlights how there were challenges in his own day. We shouldn't glorify the good old days, as it were. He lived in the 1800s, late 1800s. The challenges were already then. The commandment was already in danger then. But more seriously is the point that Ryle makes, only a few steps from no Sabbath to no God. And so all we have to do is look around us in the world and see how that is exactly true. How many have no Sabbath? And they profess no God. No God. And how sobering then for us to make sure that we never forget the Sabbath day, but remember it to keep it holy as we ought to do. Well, this afternoon, let's think about this commandment also in terms of wanting to show thankfulness to God for his great salvation and Wanting to keep this commandment too as a way of saying thank you to him. Let's remember indeed that gospel context. And now especially let's work from the text from Mark, where we have this majestic and profound statement from the Savior himself when he says in verse 27 of Mark 2, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What a statement the Lord makes. The Sabbath was made for man. And obviously we understand the Sabbath now not to be Saturday as it was in the Old Covenant and Old Testament. At the end of the week, first work, then rest. That's how it was in the Old Testament. But now that Christ has come, and especially that he's risen and ascended, and all the work is done, as it were, and he's poured out his Holy Spirit, the New Testament examples and precedent point to Sunday as the new Sabbath. The Christian Sabbath, we could say, we begin the week with rest. And out of that rest, we go to work. Well, Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man. That's our key phrase for this afternoon. Let's begin by seeking to understand that rightly. Understand that rightly. And this is important because it could be easily misunderstood. For example, it's not difficult to imagine people arguing like this. Since the Sabbath was made for man, I can do as I please on the Sabbath. It's our day. It's our day. So if we want to go golfing or boating or we want to clean up the lawn or maybe do some fall decorating, if we want to finish homework or study or just catch up on emails or do a bit of quoting for a job tomorrow, why not? The Sabbath was made for man. It's our day. It's my day. I can do with it as I like. I mean, we can imagine that line of thought. Maybe we've even used that argumentation. But it is a misunderstanding of what Jesus is saying when he says the Sabbath was made for man. He meant something different. And we have to think through his words very carefully. And first of all, the context. When he says the Sabbath was made for man, he said that in response to the Pharisees criticizing the disciples. And why were they criticizing the disciples? Well, it was the Sabbath day. And the disciples were walking through a grain field. And as they were walking, they were plucking some heads of grain. And they were presumably rubbing them in their hands to separate kernel and chaff and popping the kernels in their mouth. You might say a little afternoon snack. But in the Pharisees' mind, this wasn't allowed. As they saw it, it was work. And the commandment said, don't work. So they were out of line, these disciples. And the Pharisees, of course, jumped on an opportunity to accuse Jesus of some sort of unfaithfulness and lack of integrity. But what had happened with the Pharisees with this commandment and Sabbath keeping, they had made it a kind of drudgery. That's really what they had done. And they had made it even a kind of idolatry. So that the whole point in their view was to live so strictly and obey all kinds of details developed by the Pharisees and enforced by them. And it was like, in their view, man was made for the Sabbath. Man was made to keep the Sabbath. Well, maybe we recognize that because in our history, maybe in your past, maybe there was some of that in your experience. And Jesus helpfully says, no, that's not correct. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And so we need to realize that Jesus was confronting a particular misunderstanding, a misunderstanding that was all about endless and even senseless rules, and the entire purpose and blessing of the day was missed. And Jesus corrects that. The Sabbath was made for man, he says, not man for the Sabbath. Don't mix it up. Don't make it the other way. Don't make it a burden for man to keep when it is really a gift for man to enjoy. So that's the context. But now let's dig into Jesus' words a little bit more. So the Sabbath was made for man. It was made for man. The question that might come is, who made it for man? Who made the Sabbath for man? And how important it is to know that, and we can know it with confidence. The Lord made the Sabbath for man. How do we know that? Well, we find it already in Genesis 2. Genesis 2. After God finished creating this world and everything in it, including man, so by the way, just note that man came before Sabbath. First man was created. Then Sabbath was given. We shouldn't forget that order. But then we read in Genesis 2, 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And so the point is that the Sabbath goes all the way back to creation. It is rightly called, therefore, a creation ordinance, just like marriage is a creation ordinance and work is a creation ordinance. These things are from the very beginning. They are part of the created order. So also now a seven-day week is how God has designed the world to function. And the principle of 6 days work and one day rest, he has designed that too. What's so interesting is the way the Lord refers to this in Exodus 20 when he gives the Ten Commandments. And you know this because we go through it every Sunday. Commandment 4 is to keep the Sabbath day holy, and the Lord spells out some details, and then he roots it in creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed it and hallowed it. And so with these very words, the Lord is helping us to understand that he came up with the commandment. Well, he came up with the Sabbath, and he came up with the commandment. It's all from him. It all goes back to the beginning. It's all rooted in creation. That's when the Sabbath was made for man, by the Lord at the start. And because it was made by him already then, because it was made by him, it is therefore his Sabbath. How important to get that too. His Sabbath. You know, he even speaks that way. You can know this reference, Exodus 31, verse 13. The Lord says, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. My. So he has made his Sabbaths for us. They are a blessing from him for us. The Sabbath was made for man because the Lord did it. It is his Sabbath, his gift to us. And just notice how this is so wonderfully confirmed in the New Testament when the new Christian Sabbath is called what? The Lord's Day. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. And since that is so, then, when he gives us the Sabbath, it makes sense that he also says what it's for. So it's for us. That's who it's for. But what's it for? It's not a gift without directions and responsibilities. Sometimes you receive gifts like that. Maybe children, you sometimes receive a birthday present on your birthday. I mean, probably every time you receive a birthday present or many presents. But let's say you get $50 from your grandparents. And it's just $50. Here's a check or whatever. Here's a $50 bill. You can spend as you like. No directions. You can buy clothes. You can buy toys. You can buy candy. You can buy pop. You can buy whatever. A gift without directions. But sometimes we receive gifts with directions. Maybe someone gives you money and says, look, this money is for your university fund. Or maybe, forget about money, maybe they give you a new leather bag. And they say, this bag is for your school books. Don't deliver your newspapers with it. Don't carry your cat around in it. It's for your school books. Sometimes gifts come with directions. We understand that. And so also this gift of the Sabbath. It was made for us, but it wasn't made without direction. It was made with a purpose. It was made with a calling. That's then where the words of the commandment are so helpful because they remind us that it's a day for us, first of all, not to work. We're not to work, but rather we're to rest from our work. We're to rest. Now, we shouldn't miss this because physical rest is important. None of us is built to work 24/7. No one even can sustain that. How much of our society and world is running ragged, running on empty because they are missing this, because they are rebelling against this, because they think they can do what they want, because they don't realize they are trying to do what they weren't meant to do, what they aren't built to do. You can't live long without rest. Regular rest. Weekly rest. But it's not only physical rest that's in view. But adding to that, as the Bible makes clear, the physical rest we may enjoy is about an opportunity especially to experience spiritual rest, which means simply to seek the Lord and to meet with the Lord and to worship the Lord. The Old Testament people already were to set the Sabbath apart as an opportunity, we're told, for a holy convocation, some way to meet together, to assemble, to come together. It's not altogether clear what that looked like in the early days, but as the years went by, the synagogues developed, and in various cities and towns, people would come together in the synagogues. In the time of Jesus, that's what they did. also sometimes in the temple. And the purpose was to hear the word of God and to pray together. And then, of course, in the New Testament, even more so, that becomes clear. And so the point is, we can think of how the Lord gave us the Sabbath so that we might have time and energy and space and place to seek Him and to know Him and to serve Him. Maybe what helps to clarify all this for us is the last verse of Mark 2, when Jesus says that the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was made for man, was given to man. We may receive the Sabbath, and we may enjoy the Sabbath, but the Lord, the living God, our Savior Christ, remains in charge of the Sabbath. He sets the agenda. He rules and guides it. It's not up to us to decide how we may spend the day freely as we please. No, no one is free to do that. Not in the church, not in the world. No one is free, for Jesus remains Lord of the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath was made for man, but the Lord says what for? Namely, to know Him and to spend time with Him and to grow in our fellowship with Him. So that's what it means to say that the Sabbath was made for man. It was made by the Lord, for the Lord. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Hopefully, Jesus' words are a little clearer to us and we understand them rightly. But let's move now beyond understanding to application more and talk about reflecting Jesus' words faithfully. Reflecting Jesus' words faithfully, our second point. The Sabbath was made for man. How do we live out a right understanding of the Sabbath? How do we live out a right understanding? In the first place, let's remember the precise words of the law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That means that week by week, we're to remember to set Sunday apart. That's the point. Set Sunday apart. And again, set it apart not solely for yourself or to do what you like, but to the Lord and for the Lord. In other words, we could say Sunday should be different. Not like Saturdays are different. For many of us, Saturdays are different, not like Monday to Friday. Saturdays are different. Even if you work Saturdays, something about Saturday, it's still different. But Sundays aren't different like Saturdays are different. Sundays are, we could say, different, different. Different, different. We're to make Sunday so special. By the way, the whole day. Remember the Sabbath day, says the Lord. Not the morning or the hour, the day. Well, how do we do that exactly? What we learn from Scripture and what our catechism helpfully summarizes and highlights here is the importance, the priority of public worship. Public worship. I already mentioned the gatherings of the people of God in both Old and New Testament times. Let's also remember the language of our catechism here. Well, it talks first and interestingly about maintaining the ministry of the gospel in the schools. That's just a bit of an aside, but we shouldn't miss it. The ministry of the gospel in the schools. You know, that's about training ministers, making sure we have ministers so that the gospel can be preached. We need men to be trained for gospel ministry. That's very important. And we shouldn't overlook that ever, including praying and working for more students for the ministry, for those also who are involved in every form of Christian education. Sometimes we can think of only of seminaries training ministers, and that's, of course, where they are especially trained, but we have a whole system of Christian education, elementary school, high school, even opportunities for university, Christian university training. That should be something important to us and something we bring regularly to God in prayer, and particularly also the seminary. This week in our denomination, we have committee meetings, and one of the meetings is the Theological Education Committee. And they always deal with students and reviewing the students and helping the students. But you know, this year, this meeting, they have no students. No students for the ministry. It's the first year in many, many years that's so. That's a concern. We have 4 or 5 empty pulpits without ministers. And there are opportunities even perhaps someday to plant more churches. We have no ministers to fill the pulpits. The fourth commandment, as expressed also by our catechism, reminds us of the importance of making this a matter of earnest prayer. Lord, give us more men for gospel ministry. And bless our schools. Bless the training of our students. Bless the education of our youth. that more men may be equipped and called and sent out. Well, that's a bit of a digression. The Catechism goes on to point to our Sabbath duties, including especially to frequent the church or attend the church of God, to be under the means of grace, and to participate in Christian service. Now, the means of grace is the priest word and prayer and the sacraments. And these are the things that we do in the service as we worship God. And again, how vital to commit to these things and to participate in these things. Let's never be part of any effort to diminish them, whether deliberately or through carelessness. Let's never give in to voices or trends or habits or temptations to, for example, forget about a second service. Again, here we are, it's all good, but ever reflect on how many churches used to have second services and no longer do? And how did that happen? How did that happen? And let us pray to God that it never happens here among us. Not as a point of self-righteousness, but as a point of obedience, as a point of devotion to our God and Savior. Let us frequent the church of God. Let us come regularly to the services. Whenever they are held, let us seek to be faithful in attendance, participation. But in addition to worship, the Catechism also mentions works of service, contributing to the relief of the poor. So we read in Mark 3 about Jesus challenging the Pharisees regarding the purpose of the Sabbath command. And the Sabbath day, and he says, is it not a day to do good and to save life? They thought he shouldn't heal because it's the Sabbath day. What do you mean I shouldn't heal? Is this a day to kill? Isn't it a day to make alive? And how that ought to animate us so much on the Sabbath day. There is so much good we can do on the Sabbath day. Now here we can think of works of necessity, including emergency services and works of mercy. And some of you are involved in these legitimate, lawful professions and callings. And you are permitted, therefore, to be absent from church for that in the eyes of God. Though it must also come at a cost. And how many have spoken of that before? So we need to pray for each other in that regard. But doing good and saving life, we can also think of the more general ministry of encouragement. Visiting the sick and spending time with the lonely and reaching out to those who are on the fringe, say, and seeking to be a blessing to one another so that no one is forgotten. Can happen even in a church like ours where people are forgotten. And we should seek to include us all. And see, all this helps to fill the day. And the point is to make it a priority. Let everything else that happens on Sunday, let everything serve the purpose of public worship of God and Christian encouragement and service and love. And what about the time that remains? Well, often that's a question also among our young people, maybe all of us. How do we spend Sunday outside of public worship? And after we've eaten breakfast, lunch, and supper, and maybe had a rest, a nap, what do we do with the time that's left? It's in these moments that we can struggle or be tempted, or it's in these moments that we can miss opportunities. Sometimes, too, we get stuck in endless debates about what's allowed and what's not allowed. That's almost always a trap. Almost always. If we're not careful, we can become so Pharisee-like and think and live and talk as if man was made for the Sabbath and not the Sabbath for man. Isn't it wiser and healthier to think about our so-called free time like this? How can I use what's given to me to best fulfill the main purposes of the day, including rest and worship and service? Just try to register that question. How can I best use the time that remains outside of public worship and daily chores and so on? How can I use all that time that's still left for rest, for worship, and for service? And see, when that's the question, many of the challenges and debates just fall away because we start looking for opportunities to rest and worship and serve. And there are so many possibilities. Maybe we take a nap or a walk or both just to be refreshed for coming here or engaging with others. Maybe we catch up on our Bible reading or our Bible study, or we learn our catechism memory work or our Sunday school. Or maybe we do some extra devotion simply to strengthen our faith or to sharpen our thinking or to sweeten our lives simply with the truth of God and His gospel. Maybe we visit with people so as to get to know them, and especially to speak together about the things of the Lord and the life of faith, and to encourage one another to press on. Maybe we take time to reach out to those who are struggling, the lonely, the sick, others. Again, how many possibilities, more even than we have time to manage. And the day quickly fills up and becomes so blessed. And now there is no time to think about all the things we're tempted to do, like homework, or extended sleeping, or traveling, or organized sports, or to sneak in some daily work, just an hour or two, whatever. No, the day is just filled with rest, worship, and service, and it's full. And see, this is how we begin to keep it faithfully, holy. Well, I don't know how you're processing all this or listening to it, but it could be that as you think through, as you evaluate your own life, you say, maybe I come short. Maybe even in particular ways, breaking the fourth commandment. I remember preaching one time on this commandment years ago, and an elder saying to me afterwards, he could do better. Well, I think that about myself. I could do better. And again, not to earn points. No, that's just not even in view. It's because we love Christ and because this is what He has said. We could do better. Indeed, can we all now be humbled by also this law of God and convicted and realize that with this commandment too, our sin is revealed and our selfishness is revealed and even our rebellion is revealed. And let's see that and confess that to God and look to Christ, who alone kept the day like no one else could for His people, and then who died also to pay for the Sabbath breaking of His people. And therein, of course, is our salvation. Not just of course, wonderfully, is our salvation. He for us, He for me. And so let us look to Him all the more, and through Him and through His Spirit be stirred up and encouraged to keep this fourth commandment in praise and thanks for what He has done, especially in view of His saving work and the Holy Spirit He sends to us. In view of all that, what reason also to be so happy about this day? And that really takes us to our last point, how with the Sabbath being made for man, let's not only understand it rightly and reflect it faithfully, but lastly, love it greatly. Love it greatly. Because think what we get to do on Sunday. What do we get to do on Sunday? Well, chiefly we come together to meet God and to worship the living God and to hear from the living God. I mean, that's like nothing else. A great privilege, a high honor. Also because of how busy our lives are otherwise. How many of us say that? I mean, I've said that, you've said that. People ask, how you're doing? You say, I'm doing good, but I'm busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. We're doing our work. We're raising our families. We're caring for our home, we're involved in committees and church work and the school and so on. Every day we're running and running, so many of us. And then think about this, when do we have time to be still? Really be still and know the Lord is God. And when do we have time to graze in the green pastures of His Word? And when do we have time to draw near to the Lord and have Him draw near to us? And when do we have time to give to our fellow brothers and sisters so we hear each other and care for each other and encourage each other. How hard it is in life. And some of that is by design. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And so we ought to be busy if we can be. Now, if we're too busy, that's our sinfulness. And even in the 6 days that we work, we should seek God and walk with God and care for one another. But one day in seven, every Sabbath, every Sunday, the whole day set aside for rest, worship, and service. That's a blessing. That should make us love this day so much. And think too about something else. Think about how Sundays, they help to reorient our whole life. Do you know what this is about? I mean, every Sunday we're reminded of the issues of life and death and sin and forgiveness and faith and repentance. And every Sunday we're taught our need and pointed up to Christ. And every Sunday we're directed as to how we're to live, to put sin away and to put on new obedience. That messaging and that focus and that entire point of the day, it's meant for the day and it's meant for the week to come. It's meant to influence all the days that follow, Monday through Saturday. Because all week long we're in this world and we're busy and we're working and it's good, but often we're tempted and we're assaulted and we're wearied. And yes, that can happen on Sundays too, but Sundays are meant to be an oasis of refreshment and revival. So we can leave for a few moments the crazy world of Monday to Saturday and be rested and be revived and be refreshed and refocused to go back into the world with our heads right and our hearts full and our hands strengthened and our armor primed and shiny and ready to fight and new care and new zeal to proclaim the gospel. Oh, surely Sundays are for that purpose and more. And what reason again to love them greatly and to approach them with anticipation and to pray with expectation and to seek God's blessing time and time again. How many Sundays do we get in life? Who can say? We don't know how long we live. But let's use them, every single one. Above all, think of how Sunday is meant to point us to eternal rest. We meet with God, we get refocused for life, and we get reminded of and stirred up to anticipate rest in heaven and in the world and life to come. Sunday is meant to point to that, so that in our weekly pause, we get a foretaste. It's always imperfect. It's always mixed. But it's nevertheless a foretaste of what's to come. How many of us know that? I mean, think of some of the best Sundays you've ever had. Maybe when you were alert and engaged and prayerful and you came to worship with joy and praise. Or maybe you weren't, but in any case, God still met you so wonderfully in his house and refreshed you by the gospel. And then you had fellowship with others, and maybe in between you rested and you studied and prayed, and maybe you served others. Maybe you were encouraged by others. And then when it was time for bed, you looked back on the whole day and you said, that was a good day. God gave us a good day. Because it was a day full of spiritual blessing. Time with God, time with his people, time in the gospel, time under his grace. And all of it is, in a way, pointing us to that day when we will enjoy extended, even eternal, unhindered communion with God and all his people in the perfect, righteous world to come. See, today is meant to be a foretaste. That's what the Lord intends. And what reason, therefore, to love the Sabbath day with all its duties and joys and everything else, to love it so greatly. Here I'm reminded of the words of John Newton. John Newton, when he said, day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. That's how to think of Sunday. Day of all the week the best, emblem, reminder, pointer towards eternal rest. Oh, don't all Christians know this? Surely we do. Someone has said, when you enjoy the Lord, then you enjoy the Lord's day. That's helpful, isn't it? Maybe it's even a little bit convicting. When you enjoy the Lord, then you enjoy the Lord's day. If you have trouble with the Lord's day, maybe you're still in trouble with the Lord. And by the way, if there's anyone listening this afternoon, not enjoying the Lord's day because you don't enjoy the Lord, the Lord in his grace says, well, come to me and find enjoyment. Come and be saved by me and you'll come into my joy. But congregation, let's all resolve not to let this day be less and less respected, but more and more treasured and cherished. We don't want to live without God. And so we won't live without Sunday, without the Sabbath. Reference that from J.C. Ryle, the start of the sermon. Let me end with one more quote from him. J.C. Ryle says somewhere, the Sabbath is God's merciful appointment for the common benefit of all mankind. It is not a yoke, but a blessing. It is not a burden, but a mercy. Above all, says Ryle, it is good for souls. Good for souls. How many of us can testify to that? It is good for our souls. I read this week about a taxi driver who was dying. And he didn't know the Lord, and he wasn't ready, and he was dying. And one of the things he said as he was dying was, as he looked back on his life, I had no Sundays. I never rested. I never kept a Sabbath day. I never went to the house of God. I had no Sundays. And now death was coming and he wasn't ready. Oh, he had no Sundays. Let it not be so for us. But this blessed day that God has given, the Sabbath made for man, let us embrace it, let us love it, let us keep it. Yes, until the dawning of the everlasting Sabbath and the beginning of everlasting rest. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Lord God, for also this commandment. And for the gift of the Sabbath day, the Sabbath made for man. And now the calling also to remember that and to keep it holy. We confess that in light of this law, we are humbled and convicted. For by nature, we do not keep this day holy. So many in this world do not keep this day holy. We see it all around us, Lord. No Sabbath and no God. For how many that's true? For how many they have no Sundays, though they live out Sunday, they don't live it like they should. And so they suffer, and so they perish. Lord, help us to be sobered by these things. And grant that through the light of your word and also by the power of your gospel, we may come to not just understand what the day is meant to be, but to live it out in faithfulness and to do so with great joy and rejoicing. And through Sunday, Lord, continue to meet with us in a special way. We can't manipulate that. We can't control that. We can only ask for that. And have you not promised that? That you will come also to your people. And we pray too that through Sunday we may be refreshed and strengthened for life in this world. Monday's coming, and Monday can be hard, and so can all the rest of the days. Yes, Sunday too, but today we may rest. And we pray that that may help us for what's to come. And above all, Lord God, that we may look forward to the eternal Sabbath. That this day may be for us all our life the best day of the week and that emblem of eternal rest. Good for our souls. Help us, Lord. Bless us as a congregation. Bless our children and our young people and our older ones and all of us. Also, when, as we get older in life, too old even to appreciate Sunday or to observe Sunday. We think of elderly members in nursing homes and in their beds, in their chairs, even when their minds begin to go. And Lord, then will you remember them and will you take them to yourself at the appointed time. So be with us, Lord, as we come to a close in this service. Forgive whatever was sinful or unhelpful, take away from us. And grant that your name may have been praised. And be with us as we leave from here. Take us safely to our homes and strengthen us for all that's to come. We pray this for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Our closing Psalter number will be 228. 228, and our doxology will be number 413. So I see that they're mixed up there on that side, but 228 is what we're singing after the creed. Let's stand now, though, to confess our faith. We use the words of the Apostles' Creed and join the church of many ages and places in confessing together. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. the Lord and go to your homes and into this week in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.